Well, let's get started. I think we may see a few more people jumping in. I also had some texts from some of our faithful group leaders that are not able to join this morning for various reasons. But that's why we have the audio too. So Marie, would you mind praying for us to start?
I do not. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to know you, to serve you, to care for your people, to be more like you. And we pray your presence in this time, whether it's in this moment live or on the recording, we pray your presence, we pray your blessing, and we worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I want to say a special thank you to those of you who are leading and still joining us for the Huddle Live in June. This is commitment. I appreciate having you here. I want to ask on the front end if there's any stories, either from your own personal life or in your group spaces, in your communities, anything you're seeing. Doesn't have to be like earth-shatteringly epic or anything along those lines, but we just really want to, I think, foster a culture and a community where we're engaging other people relationally and then seeing those things as wins with one another. I can start real quick. This is a driver's training story. Turns out that my son's instructor, through a series of conversations, was actually one of the city council members that served back in the time when we were pressing the lawsuit with the city. So she and I have had some interesting conversations in the car, but she's a believer, but not currently worshiping anywhere. So we've been talking about, she had lost a daughter to cancer at 22. Mm. So these are conversations we've been able to have during really, really short snippets of conversation time in the car, because again, I'm not really supposed to talk. after the last week, she texted back and said, I thanked her for just sharing that important part of her story. And she's like, I'm not really sure why. I just felt like the right moment. I don't usually share that story with other people, but I just felt like, hey, this is God's doing something here, because there wasn't any fancy conversation work to make it happen. She just opened up. So any other stories out there?
Had a young woman who has been in the Ann Arbor area for a couple of years, but is only like recently getting connected. This is under her brother, sister in Christ. And she was sick with COVID, and her mom sent like a bunch of Instacart stuff, and she had to like turn down a bunch of people from helping her because she forgot, like, she'd never had friends before living in Ann Arbor. And so her mom was used to like sending up groceries or helping when she's sick. And she just realized that she has a church family now, and we were able to still bless her and know her well enough and have her knit in well enough to care for her.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other stories out there? All right, if you think of one, I'll let you back in on it a little bit later here. I just wanted to do a quick check-in with each of you who are leading, just to make sure I have an understanding of what your summer plans are. So let me just get my list of who's on the call again here real quick. So, actually, I know the answers on most of these. Emily, you guys are just rolling with the summer too, right? Are you changing your schedule at all?
We are changing it slightly. We decided to do the Wednesday nights at church for our home group. So we are not meeting on our usual Thursday night that we would be normally meeting.
We'll look forward to having you guys.
Yeah, so that's our plan. And then we were kind of talking about maybe starting up in August, but we haven't like had a firm date on that or anything like that.
Yeah, I can understand. August, it's not that far away, but it feels like it should be far away at the moment.
Yeah. So that's it.
Let's see. And then you guys are in the same group as Melissa.
Chows and Chases.
Yeah, okay. All right. So that was all the information we're going to get from today.
Yeah. Great. Okay.
Well, that was convenient.
Well, yeah. Well done. You really covered that quick. Okay. One of the other things we've got going on here, or would like to have going on here, is something new. We have 13 people heading to LT here shortly, 13 students. That part's not new. What is new about that is we are rebuilding momentum on LT. We've been working pretty hard on it from a staff standpoint, recruiting standpoint, without pressuring people into going, but really just trying to be diligent about having people see things. Last year we had 4 go, and it was a good summer for them. This year we have 13 signed up. We've been praying for 15, if you recall. We've got 13 signed up, and that feels like a huge win. One of the things that I think came out of this group, or possibly the city advisory space, I can hardly ever keep the two straight in my head with ideas, was the concept of adopting an LTer for groups, that we would connect with 1 or 2 LTers, know them, have a sense of what their needs are, be praying for them for the summer, and if there's things that we can do tangibly to support and encourage them, that would be fantastic. So I just wanted to send that out to you guys, let you know. We reached out to Ryan and Josiah. They love the idea. I just got a list of the participants from Josiah. So I have that list of 13, and I wanted to get a sense from you guys, and we'll send this out by email too, because we don't have everybody here on the call. If this is something that your group would be interested in, and if you'd want 1 or 2 to try to connect with. Sarah Marie is going to put together, she's working on it this week, put together a document that'll have just basic instructions for what to do. But our hope is mostly just a relational supportive connection with these college students who are heading off to LT. So any questions on that? Anybody initially interested in, we'll find me later.
Love it.
Warrior. Yeah.
Yep. We're in.
Yeah, we're in.
It almost sounds like Warren if you say it fast enough. Warren.
I think Warren's going to take a bunch.
I was going to say, what'd I do?
So that was Emily and Melissa, or Emily and Edie. I couldn't quite hear that.
She was Emily and Melissa.
Okay.
Yeah, Melissa and Emily.
Great.
I guess that means we're in.
Well, yeah. Jesus, find out. Whoa, my gosh.
Oh, I can't hear anything.
Jeffrey sends the document out. But imagine Megan. She's going to LT this summer, and we'd connect you with her. You'd reach out to her, and hello. We'd let them know this is going to happen, so they're not surprised by that. And trying to assess her or the particular needs that you have. But you guys could do creative things like mail them in the middle of the summer, or text them, let them know, hey, we're praying for you today. Or if they have a particular hard day at work and they want to text you and ask for prayers, you can pray for those things. So I want to structure, we want to try and make those connections so that there could be an active support for the LTers. Nothing too intense, but a real meaningful connection. The other win for this is it helps our home groups know students, and particularly students that are likely to be leaders in our context or already serving that in that way, which is just going to help our overall connection as well. Does that make more sense, Warren?
Can I just add one thing real quick?
Yeah.
In regards to that, since I've had a student go to 2 LTs in the last 3 years.
Yes.
If you guys mail something to your student, you might want to text them and tell them that you've mailed something to them, because they don't check their mail, their physical mail, ever. Like we mailed a bunch of stuff to Josh when he's out in Colorado, and finally I'm like, hey, did you get my package? He's like, no, I've never checked the mail the whole time I've been here. I was like, well, go check the mail, because there's probably like 7 postcards there for you. So, anyway.
That's funny. That's a good tip.
Yeah, that's what I thought of, was mailing packages. My mom's a pretty awesome package mailer when we were at LT. So she would put in like Jiffy cupcake mixes and frosting and, you know, just extra fun food things, which I thought was great, added to the experience.
It does. Those are good moments.
Also, they don't have access to a kitchen, just so you guys know that too.
Ooh, that's
they're living in it for the New York LT. They live kind of dorm style, but there's not really a kitchen in the dorm. It's just like rooms.
They just cook with a campfire outside.
Yeah. No, yeah. They eat all of their meals in the cafeteria.
No cooking.
Snack food.
They do have access. They are well fed. But
they are well
opportunity fed. To get something that's unique and from home. That's the different piece. So okay, we're excited about this. I think this is some good potential. Who knows what we're gonna do with it. But reach out to us proactively if you already know. Emily, Melissa, we got your names down. And we will get a document together and an email out that offers this opportunity. And
yeah,
probably, go ahead, Sarah Marie.
I'll have that document and information to you by Wednesday, sometime Wednesday. So feel free to reply directly to that and let us know.
Sweet. Thank you, everybody. All right, let's see. Okay, so summer events, activities. We've got a lot of stuff going on this summer, as you know. Like you likely have heard already, particularly the summer All City Home Group that's happening Wednesdays, every Sunday with summer socials after church, and then the 90 Day Challenge launched in June. Those are the big summer pieces that we've got going on. I just wanted to dive into each of them a little bit more, communicate the latest and greatest information on those. So with the Wednesday Home Group, our vision on this is that it's an outdoor group. Not because we don't like meeting people indoors, but really because we're thinking all city. We want the invitation to be a valid, accessible thing to everyone who's in our context. And there's really two aspects of that are tricky with indoors. One is COVID and COVID protocols and things along those lines. Outside, it's just easier for people to access. We have people that just won't likely come if it's indoors. That's a choice that they could make differently. Theoretically, we could make it differently, but it's summer. It's really nice outside. That's part of the outside vision. The other piece is just the fellowship that happens surrounding a campfire is a different experience in terms of conversation. And then the other piece is childcare. We had hoped to try to provide childcare formally in our New Life Kids space. We just don't have the volunteers to pull it off. So we're hoping to have kids be able to come and freestyle outside, color, throw this game. I can never remember the name of the game. Flat things. You throw the beanbags.
Cornhole.
Cornhole and ladder ball. And
it's gone. After yeah. Something's gone from my memory. Anyway, have games outside. The kids can be playing. There's a communal social to that. So that's our plan. Which means that if we get rained out, we're just not going to meet rather than adjust to go inside. And we'll trust the Lord gives us meaningful opportunities to engage this summer. We just don't know when they're going to be. Ayla is going to be leading in my stead this week because the pastors are taking a two-day off-site retreat. So Ayla, I'm going to get you that agenda. But the short version of what we're covering content with the Wednesday home groups is really a sharing of life, scripture, story, and prayer. So the life piece is just we're spending time together on the front end of the meeting. Scripture is going to be reading scripture. I want to have regular opportunities where people can just read stuff that they've been engaging with God during the week and having discussions on that. Sermon content from the previous Sunday, we want to have an opportunity for people to share two-minute stories just to get us experience with sharing our own story. So that we can tell people who Jesus is, what he's done, and how he's impacting our life in a very comfortable, informal way. Just like driver's training, we all know as adults now how to turn that wheel. It's just instinctive. This is something we want to make instinctive. And then spending time meaningfully in prayer. So schedule-wise, that all starts at 6. You can come early at 5:30 and just share dinner together, bring your own food. I think that we'll finish up around 7:30, but it hasn't happened yet, so I don't know. And our plan is fire and marshmallows every time. at the tail end. So get all the fire and all that stuff set up. And then let's see. With the Sunday socials, those are rocking and rolling. We'll do it again today after church. In fact, I'll start getting the supplies ready as soon as this meeting's done. On the 26th of June, we have a special Sunday in the sense that we're doing some more things that particular day. We're going to be doing a chip-off, which is a Stephanie Hupp idea, a chocolate chip baking contest, eating contest, baking contest. But people are going to eat them too. And then Justin and Becky Broom are going to be smoking pork that day as well. So that 26th, that June 26th day has a few bonus consumable items. So we got that going for us. Sorry, just flashing back to my extensive list of things.
Hey, Joel, when's that going to be announced?
As soon as possible. I'm working with all the announcement people on it. So we may need to try to get it out in the socials in addition to the standard stuff that we're using. And this references a discussion context conversation that I want to have at the tail end of the meeting too. But those things just came up this week and we wanted to take advantage of them. So offers from people to volunteer to serve. So, okay. And the other piece this summer is the 90-day challenge, which is going. It started June 1st, I believe. I'm posting a link here in the chat. You can still jump on with a 90-day challenge. It has already started. We're a ways into it, but you can still engage it. This content is totally different than anything we've done yet. I mean, the core of it, what we're talking about is the same stuff, but the level of production is completely different. So this is a unified start and end time for the 90-day challenge. And every day is supported by podcast audio, essentially. So the first week was all our EMT, walking through the foundations of the pathway. And then the rest of the summer is going to be individuals in the church who are basically covering devotionals for those days. And so there's content for each day, which is pretty cool. And from what I understand, from talking to multiple people, the audio is fantastic from this thing. I confess, I haven't listened to any of them yet because I have way too many things in my plate this summer. It's been great. I've talked to a lot of people, really, really enjoyed it. Gotten into a routine and a rhythm of doing it. And so, yeah, again, that link is there. You can click it. It's a form. You sign up and then they start sending you the content. Questions on any of that? Any of the three pieces? Home group, some Sunday socials, 90-day challenge.
I will echo whoever you've talked to. The 90-day challenge has been great. I've been participating. They started at June 5th. Which was, I mean, the audio is great. I listen to the audio sometimes, but they also send out a written version at the same time,
which is a script, exact same script as the audio.
And they send it via text and via email, which the email was supposed to be a backup, but I actually love having it on email because then I can read it on my computer instead of on my phone if I want to. So I hope they continue the email version, because that's also super helpful.
Awesome. I'll note that down too. That's going well. Okay. Any other questions on any of that content? All right, let me jump to August. Pretend it's August for a minute. It is still June, by the way, so that's great. We saw June and we saw July, but we wanted to get a couple things on your radar that are coming up in August. One is that we're bringing back a traditional prayer and fasting week. It's something the staff have done historically, just really beseeching God to bless us. Trying to get our hearts in a place that helps us to realize it's just not about our effort, not about going out there and getting it done. It's really about the Lord doing what he's intended to do. And so we ask him to do those things. And so we spent a whole week, generally speaking, as a staff team, praying and fasting. that's kind of been our traditional approach to it. And we really, really like that. And that we've modified that a bit in the last couple of years, but we're going back to more of that traditional approach this year. And we want to invite the church into that in some way, shape, or form. And so there will be some invitation. Exactly how that's going to happen, I don't think is finalized yet. I knew we've been brainstorming different things than even just in that. The city advisory team time, we were brainstorming some ideas on how to pull that off. So, but that is coming, and it is the week of August 14th through the 18th. And so if that's something you guys want to join in on, we realize that everybody's schedules are not conducive for most people coming into the church building. Although we're looking at different times, we could potentially do it so people could be there in person. But also in the ways that people can engage via Zoom or telephone call, maybe, or something along those lines. So those are all ideas on the table at the moment. Then we also have Mission Week. Sarah Marie, can I put you on the spot to say a little bit more about this? Because this is in the off of the VS4, isn't it?
Yeah. We're going to have a fall and a spring missions emphasis week starting this year. And the idea behind it is to get back on mission together, praying for the lost, praying for our Lord to reign and make his name known. And it's also going to come with equipping and some class-like aspects, and then a six-part audio series that Chandler and I are hosting. And we think it's really going to be a great step for the church to feel prepared to share the gospel, to continue to utilize those two-minute testimonies we've been talking about, and feel like you're not the only one, help you feel like you know how to get into spiritual conversations, feel like you know that your church is with you, that this is something we're all doing together, and hopefully be a really great launching point for the school year.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about the podcast?
Yeah, the podcast is six parts, and it covers everything from kind of like the heart behind sharing the gospel to having courage while we do it. And it's Chandler and I interviewing Pastor Harold from Christian Love, Jeff Olasinski, Pastor Joel, Minister Gia, Ryan Bondi, and Hannah Witte. And they've each got a separate topic. And the podcast is short, about 30 to 40 minutes, and is conversational, covering concerns or insecurities or even just basic questions that anyone might have. So it's less get out your paper, draw this out, or like take notes on this, and more of a conversation.
Awesome.
It's great. You're going to like it.
I know that you and Chandler are putting a lot of effort into this.
Yeah.
All right. Questions on any of that stuff? August.
We'll be getting you Missions Emphasis Week, more information about that, and hopefully early enough to where you can participate in it.
I have a couple discussion topics I wanted to throw past the group today. The first is really regarding communication. I think this is definitely an area we continue to improve in. And I wanted to get a sense from those of you who are on the call, how you best receive information from us at present. If there's multiple methods, if it changes based on what part of the year we're in, how much advance time is good for each of you. And it can be vastly different, exactly the same. This is just something I just want to have more information on so we can be making decisions about what channels we're using and how to use them effectively. I'm open to just totally random thoughts on this stuff too. So just as a theme, EJ has been very generous, and we've been talking about this topic. So EJ, I'm not forgetting any of our previous conversations, but I also don't want to prevent you from sharing any of the same stuff that we've talked through, because I know there's more people in the conversation than just the two of us. But
yeah, I mean, I'll just share my thoughts so that everybody, it's on the table. I mean, this is a kind of a big issue for me. I would say minimum 4 weeks notice. And whatever communication we're going to do, if we're going to do it from the stage and we're going to send out a bulletin, then be consistent with both. Those are my two main thoughts. Be consistent, like whatever you're going to say from the stage, put it in the bulletin. And if you want people to participate, you have to give them at least 4 weeks with the city. This chocolate chip cookie thing is an amazing opportunity. And if you don't get it on the stage today, I don't expect you're going to have a whole lot of participation because you're only going to give them 1 week at that point. So those are my thoughts, except for the
eating part.
Well, yeah, people will eat, but if you want people to participate in baking, like right. I'm like, oh, okay, what time? I don't find out about it until next week, then I'm like, when am I going to bake cookies? Like, I haven't even planned like when I'm going to do that. So I know, but if you want other people to participate, you're going to need to give them a little bit more than 1 week notice.
Totally.
That's all.
What about methods for you and Jim? How do you guys receive information best from us?
I listen to the announcements from the stage and I read the bulletin every week. So that's fine. Those are fine for me.
I'd love to hear from all of you on this point. In the very least, like, how do you get information from us best?
I would just say announcements at church is probably my primary way of getting information. You'd think I'd get it from my husband, but it's not the case. He's not working when he's home. So
we get separation.
Exactly.
Home, yeah.
I do sometimes look at the bulletin on my email, but most often I probably just delete it or I'll quickly glance over it just to see if there's anything that I didn't get the first time around. But yeah, more notice is good, but I'm kind of more fly by the seat of the pants kind of a person. So I don't know if a lot of notice necessarily helps, but if I needed to block something out because I really wanted to make it something that we invest in, then yeah, you need a little bit more time when you have the rodeo to keep track of. So
it is a rodeo. It's true. How about the rest of you guys? What communication methods are best from us? Are there methods that are good for you in life that we're not using?
I would say that I usually get most of my communication from the stage as well. I have started reading the bulletin as of recently. still from the stage the most, I would say. And I think sometimes when things come up, like the city leaders had a, like, I didn't get one today, but like the text that like would come before that and say, you know, we have this. Well, they froze.
You didn't get the huddle text today?
Today, I don't think I did.
Huh. I'll look into that.
Usually I always do. And that is super helpful to remind me that it's happening. Because sometimes, it might not be on my radar, but usually I can jump in anyway. So that just makes that happen, I feel like.
It should have come out right at 8 a.m. this morning, which is weird.
I'll double check your settings real quick.
Okay. It was in my email. So what I think, you know, I knew it was coming this week. And I would say as far as timing goes, like, I guess heads up is helpful, but I don't know. We're kind of also do kind of things. We can do the things last minute sometimes too. So I don't know if I always need like a lot of time, but it is helpful. Like, you know, some months like May was like booked out super early, you know, with all kinds of different things. So I guess it depends on the time of the year also.
Right. And probably what the thing is, how big a deal it is to orient your family around.
Right, right. Right.
To plan to come to a home group that's, you know, in the middle of the week, you've got to change your schedule to stay at church an extra 15 minutes. Maybe it's not that big a deal, but.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Joel, is there, so maybe there is, and I just don't ever look at it or know, but is there like a calendar somewhere, like on the website where we could, where you open it and you see like city small group at the church every Wednesday, city social, or if not, could there be one in the bulletin, like just for that month or for like the next 3 weeks or something like that?
Yeah, the bulletin links to a calendar. I can check into that. We have definitely used a calendar from time to time. I don't know the state of it currently. Samri, do you know more on this?
Yeah, the closest we have to that right now is on the app. And it's underutilized. Part of this conversation is for sure trying to figure out like what is the best way to get information out. So if you look at the app, there is an events page.
Right. This is what it looks like right now. It's completely empty. Yeah. But that obviously isn't accurate to the fact that we have events happening. We just don't have them. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're trying to figure out, you know, is what do we want to put time and effort and intention into? So if you feel like having a calendar to access or even a way to add things to your own calendar, that'd be great feedback to have.
I echo the calendar idea. I think that's a great idea. I mean, we mentioned this at the city advisory team meeting a couple weeks ago. Maybe that just last week? Anyway.
I was trying to remember the same thing.
Yeah. No, that was brought up at that point also. And it would be so helpful to be able to look. And also, I agree, Sarah Marie, that's a good point is, what are you going to put your effort into? And then like, make sure everybody knows, like maybe even announce that from the stage, like, hey, if you want to know what's going on, always check your app. Cause I absolutely never check my app.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask. If we had, if we had a perfectly executed calendar, that's like, I don't know, a Google calendar, something people are linking to versus perfectly executed app with the events in it always, which would be preferable for you guys?
Joel, I'll say for me, between those two, either one would be okay.
As long as
I do use the app. Yeah, as long as you knew where you are supposed to go, right? Yeah, just to have a one stop. I will say, like, as far as communication, like the text messages for this meeting at least are super useful. Full disclosure, if I did not get that this morning, I probably would have forgotten.
But you did. You got yours.
But I did get it.
Yeah. All right.
And I'll say, like, the other thing, like, for me, the bulletin, the announcements are good. But I do like the emails, though, because I'll go back and search in emails and everything. So if it's in both, I think, man, this is kind of a lot of fronts here. But, like, you know, if it was in announcements, in the email bulletin, and a calendar somewhere, that's a lot of effort. So I'm not sure which one.
That's generally what we're doing. For things, yeah. I would say that the fault lines are, is there consistency, as EJ was mentioning, you know, everything that's announced from the stage, is that consistently backed up in the bulletin? And is there, you know, right, subsequent emails on it? But I would say, for the most part, all three of those things generally do happen. But it's not every time. And the other piece is how much lead time. And we're working with our city advisor team a couple weeks ago. The programming team, because we're programming series that are sometimes 4, 5, or 6 weeks long, they really want to have a unified, solid program that they're thinking about, you know, for a whole series in advance, essentially. So their desire is that anything that impacts the program itself, so what's happening on Sunday morning, they could be planning out that far in advance, which is tricky with some of these other announcements, you know, for a thing like this smoked pork thing that, you know, we're going to find out is an option 2 weeks in advance. So we're still going to do it, but we don't have 6 weeks of time. But a lot of other things we do. But realistically, with bulletin announcements, getting slides and things along those lines, we don't need as much lead time. 3 weeks is little more reasonable and typical in the standard request.
Right. It does seem like the announcements should have a little bit of flexibility in there. I was going to say, the other thing that I've found useful for other organizations I've been a part of is when they send out announcements, when they send out like announcements for events, they include ICS or calendar file or attachments that you can just click on and add really easily to your calendar. So for our family, at least, we have a shared, we use iPhones, but we have a shared calendar that we use to help track events. Cause sometimes I sign us up for something. Sometimes my wife signs up for something or whatever. So having said that, I mean, there is a way to easily, you know, if you have an iPhone, it does like recognize a date and you can kind of click on it and it'll make an event for you. Yeah. But I think if there is something like that, where like, you know, either iCal file or ICS file or something like that, that is attached for events for people to add quickly to their electronic calendars, I think would be useful.
Okay. That's good.
And as far as notice, I think we're similar. I wish we planned that far ahead, but I mean, it really just depends. I don't know if there's a standard date or a standard amount of time. It just kind of depends. So, I mean, I think we're flexible enough that, you know, 2 weeks notice is probably fine, but obviously the more the better, but we always plan our lives out that far.
Is there such a thing as too much lead time in the sense that are we running into problems if we're pushing things too far out from when they're actually happening to be disjointed from what's happening in people's lives like presently?
I personally think there is. So I would say, you know, for major, major things, obviously the more you know, we're going on this Israel trip. So let's, you know, that's like, a, you know, months notice, but like,
or a year, maybe, for, right. You got, yeah.
Or maybe even 2 years. Right. Yeah. but like, I think in general, I think for us, like if it's much further out than frankly about 4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks, it kind of gets noted, but kind of shuffled to the back of the priority list or the back of the like, oh, okay, that's coming up. And it's like, that's not that big of a deal. But if it's like, oh, this is next week. Okay. We got to talk about this right now. So I think, I don't know, for a lot of events, I think more than 4 or 5 weeks probably is going to be a little bit lost, at least for us.
It seems like it scales with the kind of event and how big a deal it is. Like if we're, you know, if we're thinking about a summer party, which we are, as an event to come to invite friends to, things along those lines. We've done those in previous years and we're thankfully back in a spot where we can do those again. You know, we're going to want to let you know in advance because one, you need to plan to get a new calendar, but also getting more ramp up time to invite your friends and coworkers. So it seems like the bigger the thing, that just it's maybe a bigger plane. It just needs more time to land.
For my job, I put on events sometimes, nutrition challenges and such. And in the training that I took for that, they coach us to start letting people know, just kind of letting people know 6 weeks in advance, and then start really pushing like signups or whatever between 4 and 3 weeks in advance. So like the amount, like mention it at 6 weeks, at 5 weeks, you mention it again, at 4 weeks, you start to like put it in their face a little bit more to make it more urgent. So you mention it like once a week in the 6 week part, at once a week at the 5 week, and then at the 4 week, we mention it twice a week. Like we're sending out 2 emails a week at the 4 weeks. By the 3 weeks, I'm sending out social media and 2 announcements in the email. So it just sort of ramps up as it becomes more urgent and you need them to sign up for stuff.
Yeah.
But that's how we were trained to do it.
If we start sending out multiple emails to you guys, are we going to lose some of your friendships in a given week?
I'm not advocating sending out multiple emails, but if you want people to sign up for something, or
like getting more aggressive. I mean, that's the read, is like you're using more of your pieces, and yeah, it's moving from the mentioning to here, sign up, reminder to sign up,
Yeah, like if you really want people to sign up, like the QR code that you're putting on the screen, that's a recent ad, and it's a really good ad. I love that. So that's another way you can get people to do it right now, like sign up for this right now kind of thing. So that's super helpful. Maybe you could even do that for like the New Life Kids volunteer thing, put in a QR code that directly goes to Ayla's email, because I'm always like, oh, I need to email her about something, and then I don't do it. But maybe a QR code would be helpful.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. We are wide open to your thoughts on this. I think on the front end, this is an area we can improve in, and really want to do a great job of communicating with you so you know what's happening. We're not trying to keep secrets on these things. But part of it, too, is just the challenge of our city staff team is not huge and divided in terms of the roles that we're all fulfilling at various times. With Jay and I in particular, with our cross roles in terms of collegiate and EMT and things like that, there's other things that are just really, really important that are on the table that make it more difficult. So if we can get good systems in place and, you know, automatically are thinking through, hey, we're doing the summer party. Okay. Boom, we've got a timeline. We're going to go out. This is going to go out 6 weeks. We're going to start mentioning it here and send it out to the teams, and everybody wins. So anyway, the better we have an understanding of what your patterns are, the better. The other kind of question on the table is just social media. And I'm even unqualified to ask this question, but if we were to press information in the social media spaces, would you see it? I'm not qualified on this, but if we're thinking something like Facebook, New Life as a group, I think we'd be posting it there. Would that sort of thing be helpful?
So it depends on who your audience is. Like, are you asking as like the city part of our church, if that would be helpful? Because I'm pretty sure that would be helpful for the student half of our church.
I'm asking for the city. Yeah.
Okay. I think that, I mean, I'm on social media because I run the social media account for my job. So I think an occasional mention, like for instance, the marriage conference, if that had been occasionally posted on social media, I think that would have been helpful just as far as advertising is concerned. But it's kind of up to you, like how you want to do that. Because obviously that means somebody has to manage it, which is just one more thing. So I guess my biggest advice to you guys is whatever you're going to decide to do, do it 100% and train people to do it. If you want us to check the app, train us to check the app. If you want us to read the bulletin, train us to read the bulletin. And just like, you just have to train us in what you want us to do and how you're going to relay information.
Yeah, I think it's really good feedback. I mean, as long as it's consistent and we know where to go. I mean, me personally, I when I see social media alerts, I do check them and everything. But I think that's one thing. You know, if we're going to prioritize just one method, I think probably email is the best. I mean, everyone gets email, or maybe it's a generalization. Most people have email probably more than, you know, have social media, right? So if there's a effort or a resources issue, but I do, the more we're talking, I think the app is another really useful, like if there's a calendar on the app or up to date and kind of effective announcements on the app, then people, like you just said, you know, if you get trained to do, oh, let me check, oh, that event, when is that again? Oh, it's got to be on the app because they always put it on the app.
They always put it on the app, it's there, right? Yeah, exactly. Great. Love that. Okay. One final question I wanted to ask is we're thinking about brainstorming this fall. I want to try and to think through potential invitational events that we could do this fall. Things, the kinds of things we're thinking about are things that are already, the ideas we're liking so far, the ideas that have really good alignment with what people in our world are generally already doing or interested in doing at the times of the year that we can easily invite them into. So as a, for instance, I mean, one of the ideas that came up is donuts in the fall, cider mill, things along those lines. The genius is somebody else has already figured out how to do that. There's a particular period of time in the year where everybody's thinking about those things and more aligned and interested in spending time to go do it. And our youth is already doing this. I think that they're thinking through, hey, what are the kids going to be interested in doing? What's happening? And so, you know, Chelsea's just great at that stuff. And then, you know, bringing Mila in on the team and tag teaming on those pieces, they're doing that well. Can we do something like that on a city level scale that accomplishes two things? One, it helps us get more connected with one another, which is, I think is a generally a need we're seeing across the board that people are expressing. And it gives us opportunities to work that lives those relationships in easier doses. We're doing a bonfire, we're doing something. So I just wanted to get a few minutes of time, wondered if you guys have any thoughts for activities that fit that bill that we could do potentially or consider doing this fall.
One thing that comes to mind for me is like Michigan football. And I know not everybody's a football fan, but that's almost like a built-in excuse and schedule to get people to kind of get everyone together. Right. So I don't know if there's anything like that. Like if there are football game, you know, watch parties or something like that, I don't know. Or kind of a new like church tailgate at New Life or something.
Yeah, I like that idea for an away game. Do a tailgate and watch party.
I'm just writing them down at this point. I critique nothing. So you got an idea, I'll write it down.
I know some friends who live in subdivisions that are very active, and they'll do like a pumpkin carving contest kind of a thing where you can, like you said, take advantage of pumpkin season and, you know, maybe have cider and donuts as well. But I think that'd be fun. Kids would like it. Parents would have to get their game on, you know, those types of things.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny. In our household, Rose is the one that has the closest proximity to the pumpkins. For some reason, pulling the guts out of a pumpkin is not on my list of favorite things to do. Something about reaching your hand in and then getting stuff like on the arm up here. Yeah. I don't mind getting like cut or blacksmith ash or paint, but like pumpkin, can't do it. Any other ideas?
I think the cider mill is really good. During, it must have been 2020 that we did it. The New Life Kids did it, like, and it was really successful. Just like an open invitation, the church had it in their budget to like purchase 40 tickets or something. I don't even remember what it was. So yeah. The families could come and they could invite their friends, and it was a super easy ask. Like it went really well. I from what I remember.
Yeah, it was great.
That was the cider mill corn maze thing.
Yeah, it was one of the ones that has had a ton of human foosball. It had wagon rides. It had a lot of opportunities. It wasn't just one thing. Yeah, there are a lot of people there and it was a lot of fun.
Another thought that I had summer-wise is I've always wanted to, at our house, but we could do it anywhere, is do like a family movie night and project the movie on the back wall of our house and have people bring blankets and whatnot. And, you know, you could do popcorn and concession kind of things, which I think would be really fun.
Absolutely.
We did that with our small group at the end of summer last year, and it was really fun. So I would say that's a great idea.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It's, I mean, for our small group, it was almost like we did it. And then I was like, oh, crap, why haven't we been doing this all along?
Yeah, it does sound really fun. I know Steve and Emily Gray have not done it outside, but they've used their barn because they've got a giant projector and screen in there. They've gotten the kids out for movies and things along those lines, too. Spasovskis, how many people could you fit in your backyard for a thing like that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, we had three families at that thing, and so I was like 5'10". I'm just talking. Hold on a second. 5'10", 15. I mean, we probably had close to 20 people, and there's plenty more space than that. We had the adults like back farther around a bonfire and the kids like closer. So I don't know. I would say 50 would probably be okay. The yard's pretty big, but maybe Nick's the better person to ask that question.
Yeah, that's fair. You would remember it. We have a pretty good space back there too. We haven't tried it yet though, but the house is white. We've got a natural bowl in the backyard, and we probably have parking for, I don't know, 50 or 8 cars. So
yeah, you have the better parking situation. We have an inflatable screen.
Yeah.
So we can bring that.
That's awesome. How big was it?
I have no idea. Warren, guesses?
I would say maybe 7 or 8 feet across, or diagonal maybe.
Okay.
I think big enough that it you know, it's not the movies, but I think it was big enough that you could, it was really not I would say your yard, probably 50 people would be, the parking is the tough part. And then 50 people, you know, running through your house, using the bathroom and stuff like that. But I mean,
Totally. Well, great. Thanks for the brainstorming, guys. Appreciate it. And I appreciate you leading, being here early in June on a Sunday, a nice looking Sunday too out there. So if you're around this afternoon, look forward to seeing some of you guys out of the Angel Playground. But thanks so much for joining the call. Let me pray. We'll close. Father, we are delighted to be your kids. It's fantastic to be in a community together, the way you've knit us together. You've given us a number of just amazing gifts. And we appreciate the history, appreciate the way you've moved over the years. For the summer, I do pray for, it's just a time of rest. The last couple of years have been challenging. They've been tough. A lot of us could use some time where we're getting some real rest in our lives, and we're getting meaningful connection with one another, some times of fun. And I pray that even in the midst of all that, it all sounds like light and not serious, but you can change hearts in the midst of something like that, moments like that, particularly coming off the season that we're in. I pray for us for boldness, for the places where we feel fear, uncertainty. You would just keep us alert to the opportunities that we have to make a difference in the lives of people around us, to be alert to just starting a conversation, to know how to shift them, to be willing to grow in our skill and our boldness to tell people about who you are, and just the amazing life that we can have with you. Pray for our own devotions, God, you would strengthen us in our worship. We look more and more like you on the way we live, and that naturally just transcends into other people seeing you and you being glorified. I pray for the services this morning for Jay as he's speaking. Pray that you bless our church and our community, and for those who chime in online, that we would just be transformed. Thanks again for joining today, everybody. I appreciate it. Just one final thought is in this season, the summer season, we'd love to have you guys be praying and seeking the Lord on what's your role going to look like in the fall in terms of leadership. So without the pressure to have an expectation that just because you led this year, you lead again next year, but really diligently trying to figure out from the Lord, what do you want us to do? So be thinking about that as we're moving in. August is the time we want to try and begin to secure commitments for what our leadership teams are going to look like, and our groups are going to look like for the fall. So thanks, everybody. Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, team.